Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy Lord, you're in this place. I thank you, oh God, for your wonderful presence. Thank you for that invitation to be with you, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's our desire, God, just want to be with you. Thank you for wanting to be with us. Thank you for coming to manifest yourself in this world and particularly in this service, Lord. Exodus 33 and 18. And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And the Lord responded, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I choose to show mercy. And then he's added, you cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, you can't see my face, but let me instruct you in this way. There is a place by me, and it's upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cliff of the rock, will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts or my back, but my face shall not be seen. Last Sunday night, through a message in tongues, as the Spirit was prevalent among us, thankfully, as it often is, and expresses itself in the gifts of the Spirit and many other ways. But last Sunday night, this was the message that the Lord gave to us. And it was not for that night only, but it's for a continuum in our life. He said, as you hide yourself, your flesh, and your face, my glory shall pass by as it did when Moses was hidden in the rock. Let your flesh be hidden, he said again last Sunday night. Do not worry about what it may look like or sound like to hide your flesh or to respond to my glory. Abandon yourself to that passing of my glory. In other words, allow it to happen and allow me to do what I want to do when it passes. And when my glory passes, it is not a passing of just come and then it's gone. But there will be a remaining. There will be a residue. And you can sense the intensity of the Spirit again at this point. There will be a remaining and a residue of my glory and my power. When you hide flesh, I will expose my glory. That's our desire as his people individually and as a church, to see the glory of the Lord. And so I preach here this morning to us. I feel that it is definitely God's message. Hidden flesh and revealed glory. Let's pray together for the will of the Lord. Now, Lord, we do want your will in this particular service, but not limited to this service. Because what you will speak to us today and the Spirit that will touch us today is meant for now, but it's also meant for the continuation of our life. And I pray that you would help us to do what you instructed and what you directed Moses to do, to hide flesh. And we do want to see your glory, O Lord. We do want to see your glory. Will you praise him because he is glorious right now? Praise him for some glorious act. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. That's it, church. Go ahead. Give him praise. Yes. It's your glory. It's your splendor. It's your power and might and strength that allows us to be here today. Thank God. Thank God. And you may be seated. God is not stingy, or he has not secluded us with his isolationism to not being able to experience him. God wants to manifest and show us his glory. Whatever all of that means, and we may talk a little bit about what that means, but God wants to manifest and show his glory in our lives individually and in our church and in this world for that matter. And if we want that, hear me everyone, if we want that glory of the Lord, we should do as Moses did there in verse 18. He said, I beseech you, God, show me your glory. He uses that particular word, beseech, to write it out because it was a very sincere and a very passionate and heartfelt request. We all know what it feels like or what it is to just go through the motions or to say things that we frequently say without really thinking about the meaning or the intent that can happen to us so easy. But there was great meaning and there was intention on the part of Moses. He was very sincere. He longed. He hungered to the extent that he said, I do not want to go any further without you showing me your glory. God will not force his glory upon us. We are creatures by his making and his creation. We are creatures of choice. He could have made us robots to make us ask for and do everything that would please him. He didn't. He leaves the choice. And Moses had a choice. He could go on with the status quo, or he could say, I need something special. Special as compared to the natural in this life. I need to see your glory, O God. For those who sincerely want to see God's manifestation in your life, there is good news. It will happen. When you make a very sincere request, God, I want to see your glory for your glory's sake. Not only for my emotional experience, and it is an emotional experience when you experience the splendor of God, but that's not the reason God wants to give it, nor the reason that we seek it. But we want his glory for his name's sake and for his glory. And because of a great hunger in our hearts, God, I cannot go without your spirit. Or I cannot go effectively and move forward in this world and in life without your spirit. If God is first, if he is the main one in your life, he will respond to that hunger. He will respond to that beseeching, Lord, show me your glory. He will respond to every knock you make. He will respond every time you seek him, whether it's early in the morning in your prayer time or middle of the day or late at night whenever you pray, whether it's at home or in your vehicle as you're going down the road or even in a service like this one. I promise you, I give you God's word, he will respond like he did for Moses to your hungering to see the glory of God. Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. It's all right to seek different things in this world, but remember, they are only temporary. Seek the glory of God. Seek the manifestation of God. Put it into your prayer list and into your prayer life. God, I want to see your glory. The devil loves it when we say we believe, then prioritize everything in our lives ahead of God. It's more than just lip service. It was more than just lip service for Moses. But there was a passionate, a very sincere, a very hungering thought and asking, God, I need your help. You know, sometimes when our back is against the wall and we're pinned in and there's no other way around, that's when we get passionate and desire for God's glory. And it's okay to do that. But that should not be the only time that we seek his glory and beseech him very passionately. Seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom, he said. Prioritize everything else behind God. In order for Moses' flesh to be hidden and to experience the glory of God, Moses had to get where God wanted him to be. In verse 21, the Lord says, there's a place by me. You could probably preach for a while on a place by God, the place that he has prepared. And you could preach a while about where that place is. It's standing up on a rock, something that is solid. And he says, it's going to come to pass when my glory passes. I will put you in a cleft of the rock and I will cover you. Moses had to be willing. You and I have to be willing. Today, I don't want to preach just a tepid message are just in generalities today. I want to address what needs to happen. That is, we must be willing to get to where God wants us to be. Not where we want to be, but God, where do you want me to be? And I sense that hunger in the church and in this room today, in this service. I sense it in many lives. We've got to get to that place in our belief in God. When I talk about belief in God, I mean more than believing whether or not it's true. That is important. But believing not only that it's true, but believing that it is essential and it is necessary to obey it. The way to see the glory of God is to really believe it's essential for me to see the glory of God. It's essential for me to have the weight of your presence and the sign of your presence and to have everything that I need from you through your presence. It's important that we believe that is necessary, but also to live out that it is very essential. Our human tendencies, when we talk about seeking the glory of God, when we talk about God showing his glory and his manifestation, are really, let's put it in modern day terminology, really having an experience with God, are getting spiritual. Sometimes we tend to think it's for others and not us. But God wants to move us from that place of thinking that it's just for others and not for us. Or to think that it was necessary for those days, bygone days, but not really essential. I will stop and say, if there was ever a day that we need the Spirit of God directing every footstep of our life, it is today. In the culture and with all of the situations, and you just set aside culture, but the various pressures of life that each one of us encounter. If there was ever a day that we must be led by the Spirit, it is today. The tendency is to think commitment to consistent spiritual disciplines. I'm preaching about getting where God wants us to be. Commitment to consistent spiritual disciplines is, well, it's okay if you want that. But it's not really that essential for everyone. It is okay if you want that, but it is also essential for everyone. There should not be a box or a group of people that they are the spiritual ones and then there are the rest of us. But all of us need to have the glory of God, need to have the Spirit and everything that attends the Spirit in our life. Oh God, I want to get to that mountain with Moses and say, Lord, show me your glory. Obedience to the word of God. When we do accept that it's essential, it's important to follow through with obedient implementation. That's God getting us to that place he wants us to be. Our life priorities, our value systems. This is God getting us to where he wants us to be. A few weeks ago, someone was not feeling well at all in their physical body, and they text in, which I appreciate very much, to say, I won't be able to be there, Pastor. Later on in that service, I looked up, and they were there. And they told me afterwards, they said, Pastor said, I would have gone to work feeling like I felt. So I thought, if I will do that for work and the job, I will also do that for God. I'm talking about God getting us to a place in life priorities and value systems. In doing for God and doing in church attendance and doing attendance at prayer meeting, what we would do in commitment and attendance to a job or any other temporal commitment. You see, God said, I want you to get where I need you to be. Moses was more comfortable with another priority system. He was more comfortable with, well, it's just church. It doesn't matter. Or it's just Bible reading, or it's just the move of the Spirit, whether or not I respond. That's where Moses had been living. But God said, I want to show you my glory. And to get my glory, you're going to have to move to another place on this rock. And the scripture says, God said, I will put you there. Moses had to be willing, but God is the one that put Moses there. I'm not preaching my value system today. I'm preaching God's value system. Didn't he say, seek ye first? Put God first. I'm going to tell you that works in finances. Somebody says, I can't afford offerings. I can't afford tithes. The real truth, you can't afford not to. Why? Because it's the word of God. It's God moving our value system. And God putting there. And I would offer to you today, I encourage you today, allow God to move you to a place of submission. Let God and his word and his disciplines hide your flesh. The basic message in this story and everywhere else in the scripture, for God's glory to clearly be seen, flesh has to be hidden. In order for God's glory to be clearly and fully seen, flesh has to be hidden. Here's the truth today. Our flesh, which is synonymous with the word carnality, our selfishness in the scripture. Our flesh, our humanity, our carnality is either hidden behind that hand and mercy of God, or it is hiding God. Pushing God to a distance. Pushing God and his values and principles into the background of, oh, it's not all that important. Here's what hiding flesh looks like. And I won't be able to totally describe it today for sake of time. It involves the word of God and our involvement in the word of God. Consistent reading, consistent study, and consistent obedience to the word of God. In order to know him, we must know his will and have him to guide our thoughts. And the way to know that will and to know him and have him guide our thoughts, our decisions, our actions, our value system, even our belief system, is to read and believe the word of God. One of our ministers, he spoke at National Youth Congress a few weeks ago, Brother Mark Brown. He did a survey among apostolic people. Here's some of his findings regarding daily Bible reading. What he found in his survey is those who read the word of the Lord. 51.94, you see the stats there. Said, yes, I read the word of the Lord every day. But 48% said, I do not read God's word every day. Really, in all honesty, that is a sad statistic. I don't know. I've not taken a survey here. I want to feel like we would be and do better than that. But it is quite possible that half of this congregation would stand and say, I read it every day. But there would be almost another half that says, you know, it's kind of in the background. It's kind of like, I'm not really sure it's all that important. And so it's not on my daily to-do list. He also asked the question, how many read through the Bible yearly? And these were the responses. 25% said, yes, I read all the way through. But 74% said, I do not read the Bible all the way through. And another interesting stat might be how many have read. I don't have that today, but how many have read the word of the Lord through. The main point is this. We must have that word of God daily. That's moving to that place, and then that is hiding flesh behind the word of God. Flesh says, I don't know if I have the time. Flesh says, it's only a program. Flesh says, but God says, my word is life. My word is wisdom. I want to make somebody a promise right here. A pending decision, you may or you may not even know that you're facing it. But as you go into the word of God, God is going to give you the wisdom and the principle. And it's going to flow out of that word into your life. And you won't have to struggle or be under stress about it. The word of God will give you that answer. Hiding flesh means praying. Prayer is not a ritual. It's a relationship with God. Married men and women, when you stop talking, communicating, there will be a breakdown in the relationship. Friends, any kind of a relationship. Prayer is a relationship. Paul said, praying always. Then he said, praying without ceasing. Now he's not talking about, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, I love you, Lord, being the only words out of our voice and out of our lips, but he's talking about consistency. Praying always, without ceasing. Consistent, at the minimum, daily prayer relation. Brother Brown also surveyed about prayer. Here's what he found. This was about daily prayer. How many pray every day? I thank God for 63%. You know, sometimes you got to find the positive. I thank God. I do. I really do thank God for the 63%. But a little over a third. And again, if that held true in this, I don't know. I don't know. But if that held true, if we ask everybody to stand who would pray daily, there would have to be a third in their honesty that would have to remain seated. What are you doing, Pastor? I'm talking about what it takes to hide flesh. And see the glory of God. And I know there's answer. Well, I feel God and I'm blessed by God and I just spoke with tongues. But there's more to it than all of that. It's a daily walk. It's a daily commitment. Then he asked the question about a time of prayer, praying. How many of you pray at least 1 hour every day? Just look at that big blue no. 5.95%. Whew. As a pastor, that almost makes me sick in my stomach. Not at people. But if that holds true here, what that would tell us is that flesh is prevailing. Flesh is not hidden. And that will limit the glory of God from being manifested in our midst. No, not every day. But Pastor, I mean, I'm tired in the morning. And I'm tired in the evening. Is anybody ever tired in the morning? Is anybody ever tired at night? I vote for both. More tired at night. But it's not about taking the time to pray or read. It's about making the time. What do you want? Pastor, a prayer in church, well, I guess you could say it, but I want something more than that. I want the glory of God in your life. And here's what will happen. If it's in our lives, it'll be in our church. Because we are the church. If it's in our lives, you know, the glory of God is not limited to this building. We want it in this building, but the glory of God can show up in your vehicle or the cubicle that you work in. Or the lunchroom where you're talking to somebody. Or that private place on the sidewalk where you meet somebody. The glory of God. We've got to have His glory. I can't depend on my Pentecostal lingo of growing up in this all of my life. Praying always. Fasting. That's what hiding flesh looks like. That really hides you. Whew. That's when we talk about God slapping our hand. He said, I'm going to hide you with my hand. That's the most time I'm tempted to slap the hand of God. When I know I need to be fasting. If you can physically do it, you should give God one day at least every week. Fasting. Hiding flesh. What are you doing, Pastor? Setting rules? No. I'm preaching about hiding flesh and seeing the glory of God. We could say it, we could preach it, we could sing it all we want to, but if we're not allowing God to move us to where we need to be, submitting and following God, our flesh hates clarity, folks. Now, in many areas, we want clarity. We want to know the details, but when it comes to this carnal flesh, it hates clarity. Clarity finds security in ambiguous, vague, broad topic preaching. If you ever want to find out the spirits that lay dormant in a person, in a church, in an audience, get specific and they will manifest. Sometimes in the service or sometimes after the service when they pick the message apart. But it will manifest itself because carnality hates clarity. But I'm going to be called an account for every message, this one included, God to say, was it clear? Did they walk away with a puzzled heart and a mind about what do I really need to or don't I need to? Is there kind of in the middle? Is it kind of left up to me? Well, the ultimate choice is left up to us, but as far as God's choice, that is not left up to me. God said, I want to pass by. He granted Moses' request. And he said, I'm going to cover you with my hand and put you in that little side of the rock so that you will see my back. Our theme this year is following, following. When you're following somebody, you see their back. God said, that's where I want you to be. I know we can seek His face and we can seek His glory, but we need to be following Him. So He said, when you're following me, when you're in the place I want you to be, you're going to be seeing my back and you're going to be seeing those footsteps in front of you. Let me just drop this in right here. Don't get ahead of God. In a decision, in priorities of time and energy and finance and career, do not get ahead of God, but follow God. Get position, because that's the place where you will see God's glory. That word in verse 18, I beseech you, show me thy glory. And when it passes, as it goes into the next chapter and it passes by, that particular word has some unique meaning to it. It does mean brightness and splendor. It has that. But really the very root of that word means weight. W-E-I-G-H-T. We're all the time trying to lose it. God wants us to gain it. It literally does. It means weight, or something heavy, something with strength. In the sense of glory, in other words, something that makes an impact. I've gone to churches where it felt like Mom used to make those great big old cream puffs, and she'd put custard inside. They were so airy. There was a big old cave inside there. She'd cut into it, and all that dough had risen, and there was just this open space just waiting for chocolate, or just waiting for custard, or just waiting for whatever. But when you bite into one of those things and there's nothing there, I don't want to be in services. I don't want my life to be so, but let there be some weight. Let there be some impact. Let there be some change. An impact will make a change, a life-changing encounter. That's what Moses was wanting. And folks, that's what God is wanting. He's wanting to be strong. He's wanting to be weighty. He's wanting to make an impression. I'm preaching to folks that have literally prayed this prayer, show me your glory. God wants to show you his glory in your life, and not just in your life, but through your life. It's not about just coming in the terminology of church services. It's not just about coming in Sundays and Wednesdays, and that's our little Pentecostal Holy Ghost fix for the week. But his intent is for a daily glory, a daily impact. And let me just further explain. I know when we talk about the glory of God, many times we think about healings and it comes in the glory of God. But I'm talking about the weighty presence of God, whether there is any kind of an outward demonstration of a miracle or a healing, and God will do that in the midst of his glory. But Moses said, I just need you. I need your glory. And by the way, glory doesn't exempt us, because Jesus came manifested in the flesh, John said, and they said, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus had glory, but he still had tests and trials. He still had opposition. So I'm not preaching today, when God shows you his glory, all your trials are going to go away. We all wish that was true. You know that's not true. But I will tell you this, the glory will stay through the trial. The glory will help you to navigate through the trial. The glory will get you to a position where you say, all I need to see is the back of God. And if he's ahead of me, I'm going forward, and I'm going to follow this, and I'm going to be victorious in this. The glory of God. May the weight of his presence. I just pray it for APC and every individual that's seated here today and anybody watching on the web. May the weight of his presence be felt and be heavy, and give us the strength, his weight, his strength added to our weight and our strength. The Jewish rabbis coined the word. It's not in the Bible, but its essence is. They coined that word Shekinah. Shekinah glory. The word means dwelling or settling. In other words, for the glory to dwell and live there. I really listen. My wife records, and some others do too, messages in tongues. And I'll just say this. If you ever hear one and you want it repeated, she's got it recorded, and certain intervals takes time to type them out. I re-listened to that from that recording. And as that message went forward last Sunday night, and oh, I appreciate. I want God to know I appreciate the gifts of the Spirit. And I appreciate a church that allows for the context and creates a context for that to happen. Where the gifts, and those aren't the only gifts. I know we need them all. But I am thankful for the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And this just gives me another little opportunity. If God is using you and wants to use you, do not shut it down. I remember the very first time God moved on me to give a message in tongues, or it was to give an interpretation. It was in a classroom at Gateway. I can still take you to the very spot. I went back there not long ago. And I felt the message. A dear, precious lady that was attending the school at that time, Sister Eve Stoops, gave a message in tongues at the conclusion of the class, and there was a heavy presence of God. God spoke to me. In fact, I can still remember the essence. It was about Moses and how he led Moses, and he would lead us, and we would follow him. It was about that, and I shut it down. I didn't yield to it. Yes, I was inexperienced. It was early on. Thankfully, God, and I remember walking away from that class, and I can take you again right to the very spot on the sidewalk outside that dorm where I was. And I was repenting to God. God, I'm sorry. I don't ever want to do that again. We need his glory in our midst, folks. And we need to be sensitive to his glory. I want to release you today any gift of the Spirit that you want to have released and God is dealing with you with. Hide flesh and get to that place where God wants you to be and he wants to show his glory. And I'm walking down there and all of a sudden, out of my repentance, it lifted. And then I don't remember the time span, but I was so relieved the next time I felt the impression of the Lord to give a message in tongues. It showed me the mercy of God. I'm going to tell you the way I felt walking out of that classroom and walking down. I felt like I had failed forever. I felt like there wouldn't be any other chance. That was my flesh, or maybe the enemy, or just my own thinking that was working on me. You see, the devil wants to tell us you're a failure. But God's saying, I want to show you my glory. If we try to do this on our own, if we try to let flesh get out there and have its way, but if we'll let flesh get hidden, that's when God's glory will pass by. We don't give messages in tongues, and we don't preach messages or sing songs or live this life or witness to people for our own glory. It's that the glory of God can pass by. But when that message got to this point, you can feel the intensity through the tape. And you can hear it as people began to verbally respond to what they were feeling on the inside. Here's what God said. When my glory passes, it's not a passing that is just come and is gone. I'm claiming that today. But there will be a remaining. And here the intensity grew. There will be a remaining and there will be a residue. There will be a remaining and there will be a residue of my glory. There is a remaining. There is a residue. In fact, I still feel that experience from Sunday night even now. Why? It's not a stale spirit, but the same God that was here Sunday night is here on this Sunday morning. And the same God that was there Sunday night was with you on your Monday. And the same power and presence of God that is here right now will be with you in your Monday or Tuesday or name any day of this week. He is ever present God. The weight and the impact. There needs to be a remaining of the glory of God. This world, the needy of this world, the lost people in this service need the weight and impact of a demonstration of the Spirit. The supernatural, the miraculous, the touch, the encouragement, the affirmation of God. And there needs to be a people, there needs to be a church who is living, breathing, animated display of the glory of God. When God used that word, I'm going to pass by you, it means I'm going to cross over you. And it literally means I'm going to cover you, Moses. His Spirit is over and his Spirit is coming. Now, just give me your attention. I'm coming to a close, please. But I have a personal word for everybody in this room right now. The Spirit of the Lord is over and coming over your life. The glory of God. And if I need to give this caveat, I will. I've checked myself before I made that statement right there. Because I don't want to be saying everybody's going to got a chance to have the glory of God if it's not true, if it's not God's intention. It's more important than that. It's a good preacher phrase, but it's more important than being a preacher phrase. But I want to tell you, God impacted upon me earlier in the week in preparation, and now once again, His glory is over and is coming over your life. Seek to continue to live under that glory, under the weight of a heavy anointing. Under the weight of a heavy and a definite manifestation. It says about the apostles, they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. I want to tell you out of my heart today, honestly, I hope that you're able to lay hands on somebody and them receive a miracle. Or you agree with a sister or a brother or a friend, another lady or a man, a young person, you agree with them and prayer and God works it out. But if neither one of those things happen, if just the glory of God is making such an impression on your life and then on theirs, that something in them says, I feel something different. They won't be able to put it in theological terms. They won't be able to put it in biblical terms, perhaps. But if the weight of God's glory, the impact, what I see is a piece of clay and that large metal stamp that those old time kings used to use, that wax or that clay, and they put that heavy metal weight, it weighs about 3 or 4 pounds in itself, and they put it down and makes a mark on that clay. They took note of those disciples. They've been with Jesus. God wants there to be a residing and a residual. I don't want to just come in and go through the motions and do my part, which is preaching, and you do your part, which is worship and praise, and just go out the door, and that's all there is to my experience. And that's all there is to the glory and the presence of God. God's presence is in this room. His conviction is in this room. He wants somebody to repent before Him. He wants somebody to be baptized in His name. He wants somebody to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you've done all of those things, He's leading you and guiding you and calling you and positioning you so that you can come behind Him. Get in that cleft of the rock. He wants there to be a residual. He said, I'm going to pass by where everywhere. I want to ask you, I'm not asking for any outward sign or any outward sound right now, but I just want to ask the rhetorical question, is it a beseeching? Do you want to see the glory of God and that residual glory that He said that it's going to be where there is a remaining of the presence of God? And I don't know how it'll manifest itself. Sometimes it'll be you'll just be thinking about God and you'll burst forth in tears. Or other times there will be no outward sign. There won't be tears. You won't be singing. But you will know the presence of God is there. And what my words can't do, the Spirit of God can do when I'm talking to somebody. What my mind can't figure out for somebody that's facing a great dilemma and a great decision. I feel that heavy in today. But if you go to the Word of God, if you let Him hide you, if you let your flesh get hidden and you'll look up for the glory of God, hidden flesh will reveal the glory of God. Very reverently, I'm going to ask you with little as can be moving around to move outside because I want us to move to a place of prayer here in just a few moments, wherever that may be. Would you stand together? So this altar is open right now. If you want the residual power and presence of God, if you want flesh to be hidden, in fact, there should be commitments made that I'm going to hide flesh. God's wanting to position us. And don't hesitate to ask for His glory. And if we'll hide flesh, His glory is going to be seen in our family, in our personal life, in our community, in our city, in our churches. And it can happen for you. That word was for you. That word was for you. I'm going to ask those wherever you are watching on the internet, would you just take time to pray right now? Would you take time? I want everybody in this building to take a place and take a time right now to go before the Lord. Your flesh may not normally be hidden in a kneeling posture or praying posture, but allow God to hide your flesh. God wants there to be that remaining and that residue and that residing of His name and His graciousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, oh Lord. Oh, God, get us to a position. Move us to that place, God. Oh, Lord. Hide us behind your hand and in that rock. God, I know your word is true. Your principles are true. I know where flesh is hidden, glory is revealed. But I also understand that where flesh is exposed, glory cannot be fully exposed.